Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Non-League Keeper, the podcast dedicated to the goalkeepers of non-league football. And today we are joined by Whitby Town's goalkeeper, Shane Bland. Shane, first of all, thank you for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome. Very welcome, mate. Glad to be here.
And how are you finding lockdown? I know we were just chatting before we started recording about how difficult and how boring it's becoming a bit, all this lockdown and no football.
Yeah, I'd say the third lockdown's been a real tough one. Obviously with no football, no coaching. Just trying to keep yourself busy, really. But you know, we're nearly there, we're nearly out of it. So, you know, roll on March the 29th.
And you've got a decent setup. I know a lot of people listening to this won't be able to see the setup, but you've got a better setup than I have for me recording the podcast. I believe you do quite a bit of streaming. So you just want to tell us how you got into streaming and what you do.
Obviously, when I found out that the first lockdown, you know, we knew that the season was going to be null and void. And I just, you know, with myself, obviously with coaching and playing football, just didn't know what to do really. And like I said, I've seen a couple of, you know, I've never been really into, you know, the streaming part of things. I thought I didn't even know if it existed. And then found out, obviously, you know, Facebook do a game and streaming platform. And then just decided to, obviously, you know, get myself a PlayStation, go from there, started on Twitch, and then went to Facebook. And then from there it's literally just kicked off. I mean, you know, we're just over 2,000 followers on the page, and yeah, I mean, I really enjoy it. It's really got me through the lockdown. So, you know, I've really enjoyed it.
Where can people find you on Twitch and Facebook if they want to follow your streaming?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's just one of those where, you know, I did want to go on Twitch. I did try out Twitch, but obviously we've been on Facebook itself personally. I just found out that obviously I'd give it a go and see where it gone and see where it takes us. And like I said, we've done pretty well with it, and you know, long may it continue. But obviously, you know, totally understand that when we do go back to football, and it's going to be, you know, pretty tough to balance everything. So, you know, we'll get something sorted.
And you touched on coaching. Is that like your main job then, your main source of income, doing coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. Apart from playing for Whippy Town, obviously coaching, I've coached since obviously leaving Middlesbrough at 18. I was a part of the academy there. Obviously, once I got released, they offered me a coaching role in the goalkeeper academy. Obviously, just you know, looking after the younger goalkeepers inside the academy. You know, from you know, under 10s up to like under 14s. But with that as well, I was going in training twice a week to keep, you know, to keep myself ticking over. So that was a good gesture by the club, obviously, to keep me training there. And yeah, and then obviously joined Premier Player 6 or 7 years ago. So yes, I mean, so since I've came out the academy side of stuff, I've always been coaching, and I have my own junior team, Martin Blues under 13. So, you know, I've had them for a good 5 or 6 years. So yeah, I really enjoy my coaching, you know, just seeing young goalkeepers, young players, you know, developing the game and, you know, wanting to achieve hopefully their dreams and their goals.
How important is it for clubs like Middlesbrough to give you that option of going into coach after you've been released and offer you like a alternative pathway?
I mean, I think, you know, at the time I thought it was a bit of a one-off. I seemed to do really well on my level 2 coaching award, you know, and obviously with goalkeeping and whatever, it, you know, it was a bit of a surprise because it was literally on the same day. Like it was a crazy one, because going into the office with Dave Parnaby to tell you you're not getting a new contract, to then two minutes later to say to you, but we're offering you a coaching role. At 18 year old, I was just you know, so confused. I didn't know what to think, really. So it did take a little bit of thought. And we, like I said, you know, obviously managed to get myself, you know, around a couple of clubs on trial and whatever. They didn't work out. Ended up at Whitby Town, and then that's when I decided to, you know, to give the coaching a bash and see where it went, really.
When you were at Middlesbrough, what other sort of players are we looking at who were playing with that who've gone on to have successful careers in football, whether that be non-league or even in the Football League and Premier League?
Yeah, there's quite a few to mention. Obviously, we've you know, played with Jordan Jones, who's at Sunderland. You know, did really well at Rangers. Had a really good career, you know, a really good spell at Kilmarnock. Obviously, we Charlie Wyke was at Middlesbrough at the time. You had Luke Williams, who I believe is at Hartlepool now. A lot of players who have gone different ways. You know, whether it's gone abroad, whether it's gone to, you know, Iceland, Sweden, or whether it's, you know, playing in, I don't know, maybe, you know, the a couple of players who I know have gone into the Welsh Premier League. So yeah, you know, we've all gone, you know, with my team especially. You know, I play with Bradley Fewster at Whitby Town. I was at Middlesbrough with him there. So yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of players have gone real separate ways, whether it's in football, whether it's out of football. You know, so I mean, but you know, I try and keep in touch with as many as possible, really.
You had a brief loan spell at Guysborough Town with Chris Hardy, and that sort of really started your affiliation with Chris, who played a big part at Whitby Town. What was it like going out to Guysborough on loan?
Yeah, Guysborough. I thought you were saying Guysborough there. No, Guysborough Town is, it was a fantastic club. You know, I did briefly play one game for Newton Aycliffe as well, just before that. Obviously, I wanted, you know, after that spell with Newton Aycliffe, I knew that I wanted to go and play games, knowing that I didn't have a contract at Middlesbrough. So, you know, it gave me the opportunity to experience non-league football, men's football, you know, competitive physical, you know, the competitive physical side of things. And yeah, I mean, with Guysborough at the time, you know, we had the likes of Danny Johnson, Mikey Roberts. You know, we had, you know, Luke Biverway. We had a young Luke Biverway. We had some good players who were still playing non-league now. Obviously, Danny Johnson's, you know, in the pro game. But yeah, we had a really good, you know, a really good side. We managed to, you know, I managed to stay there at the end of the season. Managed to get a, I think we finished like top 10 or something like that. I think he wanted a top 10. I think he was going for like a good consolation season and then wanted to kick on the next couple of seasons. But yeah, I really enjoyed my time at Guysborough. Obviously experienced, you know, Darlow winning the Northern League, obviously after what happened to them. They actually won the title, obviously lifted the trophy on the night we played them. So that was an experience. But yeah, I mean, you know, Guysborough Town, it's always been, I mean, we play them every year in pre-season, but it's always been a fantastic club. Very friendly, very, you know, very welcoming. And, you know, we never know when the time's up with retiring, you never know. We might have a couple of spells there.
Obviously, once you got released by Middlesbrough, you touched on about going to Whitby. Obviously, there's loads of fantastic clubs up in the North East and in Yorkshire around your area. So why Whitby Town out of all the clubs?
It was just basically a last chance saloon, really. Obviously, when I left Middlesbrough, I went up to Motherwell. They basically said, you know, you've put yourself in a real good chance of getting something. Unfortunately didn't hear anything back. Went to Leeds United, went for a week there, had a fantastic week there. And they basically said, you know, if we'll offer you a contract, but we can't guarantee you to play. And I didn't want to really, you know, didn't want to really sign anything to knowing that I'm not going to really play, because obviously they had a Republic of Ireland international at the time, and a couple of England goalkeepers at the time. So I knew I wasn't going to play. So obviously, you know, I said, you know, I shook the hands and left. And then I went to Blackburn a couple of weeks after. And I must say that was the biggest disaster ever, because we went down there, we stayed overnight. First morning, the first day we've trained, and I knew that the goalkeeper coach just didn't like anything about us. When you're training with new people, with new coaches, you can just sense if they want you or not. And Blackburn, you know, came at lunchtime, got pulled into the office by the academy manager, and he said, you're too small. Basically said the height's an issue. Do you want to stay for the rest of the week? I went, no, thank you, and went off. So then, obviously I had an agent at the time, Carl Pemberton, and he literally he got in touch with me and said, why don't you have a crack at Whippy Town? And I knew with Whippy Town had a lot of history, with the Vars, the trophy wins, and they had a big fan base, right? In the early years. And I thought, we'll give it a go. And obviously Darren Williams was manager at the time. And Daz, took us in. Obviously, there was three goalkeepers there in pre-season. And the team itself was unbelievable. You had some fantastic players in there. You had Graham Armstrong, you had Richard Pell, big centre half, you had Kevin Burgess, you had Dave McTiernan, you had, Craig Farrell, real experienced, fantastic players. And it was just a case of, just doing my best and trying to get something, really. So Daz didn't give anything away until, at the end of pre-season. So obviously he gave everyone a crack of the whip, and obviously made decisions at the end of pre-season when the games were closing up. And I got a contract after the game v Spennymoor in pre-season. I think we were going into the 13-14 season. And I knew from the first game I played against Darlow in pre-season, I knew that I wanted to be there. I knew I was going to be happy there. Very friendly people, great ground, good surroundings. The people who were in charge at the time, obviously, Daz Williams and David Campbell, you felt welcome. You felt really welcome. And it was a similar situation of obviously being at Gisborough, but knowing that we were going to play a lot higher. So, yeah, I mean, it just sunk in straight away that I wanted to be there and play for the, an absolute fantastic club.
What was it like going into that dressing room as an 18-year-old, and you've got the likes of Graham Armstrong, Kev Burgess, Craig Farrell and Mark Robinson in that dressing room with you?
Very scary. Very, very, as an 18-year-old going into men's football, very scary. Very, very, to be fair, the lads looked after you. The lads, they were all Middlesbrough lads, Gisborough lads, very local. And did look after you, but obviously on the football pitch, I knew I needed to learn a lot, especially in that first season. Managed to get number one spot, managed to play. And I remember first game of the season, we've been 1-0 up against Ilkeston, and just with the amount of just with the lack of experience, we've had a free kick on the edge of the box, and one of our players have rolled it back. They've literally said, we've took it. We, with sheer panic, have, just literally passed it out to the sideline. They threw it in and I got lobbed. And, I can remember the absolute bollocking I got after that game. Not just off the manager, but, the players. And that's when it, and then You know, games went on, did a couple of mistakes. And like I said, I mean, after that, I got dropped after 5 or 6 games. And I totally understood, you know, made too many mistakes. It was always going to happen as an 18-year-old goalkeeper going into men's football. And it was one of them where I just had to suck it up and, you know, and think about it. Luckily, after 3 or 4 games, I was back in playing. And, you know, I thought about what I needed to do. I needed to, you know, seriously, you know, grow up and start being a man about this men's football. And that's what we did. We ended up finishing, I think it was, you know, one of Whitby's best season. I think we like finished 9th or something. We literally just missed out on playoffs. We just had a bad spell after Christmas and, you know, got offered another contract. And like I said, the rest's history. It's just, you know, I've had a fantastic 6, you know, I think next season's going to be my 8th year now. So to be at a club where you're loved and where you love playing your football, it's brilliant.
You touched on about just missing out on the playoffs. That season, if I'm right, I'm thinking 2013-14 was such a competitive league. You had Chorley winning division, FC United was in there, AFC Fylde, Ilkeston, Worksop had, Liam Metton was scoring hundreds of goals in that season. So it was quite a very competitive league to get involved with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, Chorley won the league. You know, Skelmersdale in there. Don't never forget Skelmersdale. Skelmersdale were a real asset, a real outfit. Always a very physical side, you know. And Skelmersdale for the past 2 or 3 seasons after that, they, you know, they'd always dominate until around about March, and then they'd fall off it. But playing against FC United that first season at Bury Stadium, managing to get a result 3-1 was a big confidence boost for me. I mean, it was actually my 19th birthday when we played FC United, and you know, to play against an outfit like that, and with you know 15 to 2,000 fans there in a football league stadium. It was a great experience for me, and I grew a lot of confidence from that. But yeah, I mean, you talk about the league, obviously, with, you know, with your Chorleys, FC United, AFC Fylde in the league were a very, very good side. You talk about the teams in there. It was a really, really, you know, tough league. And I'd probably say to this day, you know, the league what we're in now is probably on par with that. You know, with the teams you've got in our league now, anyone can beat anyone.
You only need to look at South Shields in your league. They just announced the other day they were going full time, so it's showing how competitive and strong the Northern Premier League is becoming.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, for instance, obviously before the null and void again, you know, we were challenging up there. Obviously, we had a change in managers. And we started to challenge again. We started to get competitive. Obviously, you know, the season where we missed playoffs by a point, the teams who were in that league then, you know, with Blythe Spartans in there, you had Warrington, you know, there's too many teams to name, you know, who are really good sides. And I don't think there's one bad side in our league at this moment in time. I think it's just, you know, anyone can beat anyone, and you know that's what excites you about our league. It's no one's running away with it. It's very, you know, nip and tuck, and it can be anyone's league, and anyone can get in them playoffs.
Just going back to being 18, 19 year old in the league, how important was it for you to get out playing men's football at that age? Because you see goalkeepers these days, they're staying in academies right up to like the early 20s.
Yeah, it was very important. Even though at the time, I didn't really want to. I think what you have when you're an 18 year old goalkeeper and you're in an academy, you have this mindset of, you know, well, if it doesn't work out here, I'm going to walk into another pro club. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that. And the mentality what 18-year-old goalkeepers have today, some of them getting absolutely nowhere. For me personally, you should be, you know, getting out as early as possible. Absolutely. I mean, if you can get into, you know, Northern League standard at 17, even 17-year-old, and you know what I mean, just getting that experience, you know, you're not, it's not like you're planning to go and play non-league football, but it's giving you that experience of that, the mentality of men's football. It's giving you, you know, the physical side of things. You're gaining experience off playing that. And my advice to young goalkeepers, go and do it. Go and play as much as, you know, as much as possible. Because, you know, it's okay being on, you know, if you're 18-year-old and, you know, you're on the first team bench, it's okay being on the bench, but are you really going to play unless the goalkeeper gets injured? And what are you going to, and you know, if the goalkeeper does get injured and if you do go on, how are you going to perform? It's, you know, you're not going to have that experience. You know, whether, you know, if you go out on loan and you go out to a non-league side and you've got that little bit of experience and you've got that experience of playing in men's football, then if you are on the bench and you do go on, then at least you've got that little bit of backup. But yeah, I just think it's massively important for young goalkeepers to play games and to keep themselves, you know, ready for anything really. But yeah, it's just, you know, they need to play.
Being ready for anything, you touched on. And the second season you were there, the 2015-16 season there, you finished 19th and survived just by 2 points. How tough was that, from going from being quite high up, finishing ninth, missing out on the playoffs, to struggling to stay up, although I remember it was quite comfortably really in the end against some of the other teams in that league?
Obviously, we, you know, after that first season, the 13-14 season, the 14-15 and the 15-16 was a real tough patch. You know, it was just, I don't know what was going wrong, because, you know, I think maybe you could probably put it down to, you know, losing key players from that 13-14 season and basically not replacing them. You know, I don't want to be really disrespectful, but, you know, we didn't replace our key players. And that's when things went, you know, completely wrong. Obviously, we lost Tom Porters that year. We lost Shane Henry. We lost Graham Armstrong. Some really, they were our real key players who we needed to keep. And things got bad. We managed to survive quite comfortably in that 14-15 season, and then the 15-16 season, that was a real uphill battle, knowing that we were on the verge of relegation. And like I said, it was just, you know, we knew that we needed to get through it, and we managed to do it. Obviously, you know, Chris Hardy came in, and there was no doubt that, you know, the club needed a change in man, you know, needed a change. I think Daz and Cammy, they took us as far as they could, and they did a fantastic job. But it just got to the point where I think they just took us as far as we came. And, you know, I think obviously, you know, Daz and Cammy, they just wanted to step away from it. But yeah, obviously with Chris, with Charlie coming in as manager, that was like a, How do I describe this? It was like some sort of injection that we knew that the team was gonna, you know, strive off it, and he got this new brand. You know, we got this brand new philosophy of playing. Took us a couple of games to get it nailed on, and then, you know, I think we managed to finish just under mid table that season, and like I said, we knew that the next season that wouldn't happen again. We knew that we'd be challenging up there.
You mentioned about Darren Williams and Cammy taking you as far as you could. How important is it, like, to say every so often have a change in mind, just to refresh ideas so things don't go stale, particularly in non-league football?
Yeah, I mean, it can be important, you know. It just depends on, you know. It depends on what people have, you know, because in non-league, the people have got their own lives as well. You know, they've got their own work. They've got things behind the scenes. It's not like, you know, when you're playing football and then you're just going home to your family. You know, people have got to go to, you know, people go to midweeks, you know, and then they're at work. You know, we're not getting home until 1 o'clock or whatever, and then they're going to work at 4 o'clock. So you just never, you know, it's just one of them where, you know, you never know what's happening as well away from football. But yeah, I do feel that a change makes a massive difference. I think every time you play a team who's just had a manager sacked, and you know, a new manager comes in, a new gaffer comes in, I always think the worst when that happens, knowing that, you know, you're playing a team who have literally just got a brand new manager, knowing that there's going to be changes. I mean, I think every time that's actually happened, we've lost the game. You know, it's a bit of a devil's advocate at the moment that. But yeah, I mean, you know, the change does make a massive difference. And I think obviously with Chardy again, you know, when Daz went and Chardy came in, massive difference. And then, you know, with Chris Hardy, he took us to the limit. And again, when I go back to, you know, when people have got their own personal lives as well, obviously with Chris, you know, he runs his own business, and it just showed that, you know, it was going really well, and he needed to focus on that. So, you know, that was the reason why, you know, he left. It just got too much, and he just couldn't put his full heart into his football. And you know, it was good for Chris, to be honest. And you know, obviously we totally understood his decision. But with Lee Bullock and Nathan coming in, they've done an unbelievable job with the squad. I feel the squad's got some real togetherness, and hopefully when we do get back together and the new season starts, hopefully we can follow up where we left off.
Touched on about midweeks and getting home like 1 o'clock and what have you, and part of that is down to the travelling, particularly for a club like Whitby, because you've got to travel to like some Manchester, Staffordshire, Cheshire quite often. So how difficult is that, like factoring all that in?
For me personally, it's not difficult. Obviously, I'm not working through the day. I literally just, you know, I do my coaching on the night time. You know, and for me, like I said, it's not difficult. You know, yes, some days I'll wake up, I'm feeling tired, but I feel sorry for the guys from our team, from any non-league team who travel, you know, so many miles to, you know, on a Tuesday night, to then go to work at, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's just incredible. I mean, how some players do it, I really do not know. You know, what makes it up a little bit, you know, if you know, when you do have a midweek and you go away and you know that you've got work next day, what does it is, you know, getting them 3 points. If you get 3 points if you do get 3 points, it makes it so much easier. But you know, going away midweek, not getting 3 points or getting a poor result, then it does make your day much, much harder. But yeah, I mean, you know, a massive fair play to all non-league players who, you know, who do go and travel away and who have got families. You know, they're leaving the families to then obviously, you know, get home at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and then going straight to work and not seeing the family until, you know, tea time. So, you know, massive, massive respect and massive fair play to, you know, all non-league players who have to do that.
Talking about good results and what have you, that second season under Chris Hardy, the 16-17 season, a sixth place finish and winning the North Riding Senior Cup at your old club, Middlesbrough. First of all, what was it like, that final, like being back at your old stomping ground?
Yeah, I mean, it's always it's always been, you know, it's always good to play. You know, it's always good to be at the Riverside. I mean, it's a fantastic stadium. It holds so many memories, You know, you've got your UEFA Cup action. You've got, you know, the comeback v Basel. You've got the comeback v Steaua Bucharest on there. You've got, you know, very, very memorial, you know, games have been played over there in the past. So, you know, to play on the same turf as what, you know, all those players have done, to actually stand in the middle of, you know, on that, in that 18-yard box, knowing that world-class goalkeepers have stood in the same position as you, you know, that feeling is fantastic. But to actually play a cup final there was immense, you know. Even though, you know, it was a local trophy, even though that, you know, the North Riding Senior Cup is, you know, you're not winning any real big prize, you know. You still, you know, take some pride from it because, you know, you have to, you do get some, you know, you do get some real good teams in there. You know, you get Mask, you get Scarborough in there, you get Middlesbrough in there, Pickering are a good outfit. I mean, obviously when we played Pickering in the final, they were really good on the night. You know, they took a 1-0 lead, and you know, we knew that we were gonna claw it back because we had chances, and we were playing well. It was just an absolute fan. You know, it was a great strike into the top corner that, you know, that beat us. But we knew that we were gonna get back into the game, and but just the whole experience, just having, you know, having a big following. You know, I think we had like 1,500 there. That was amazing to see, you know, and obviously to win a cup for them, we might not think that it's, you know, a big deal. We brilliant to win a cup, but to the Whitby fans, it was massive. It was huge for them, and you know, I'm sure a couple of them fans had a really sore head next day.
I can imagine, yeah, and a lot of the county cups these days, the finals take place at Football League grounds. I know, like the Staffordshire FA, where I'm based in Staffordshire, that's being played at Vale Park at Port Vale. It's been played at the Bet365. Lancashire FA, they take theirs to Bolton's ground, the Reebok, or whatever it's called these days. So how important is it being played, these finals are played at professional football clubs if they can, and give non-league players like yourself the chance to play at such a big stadium?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like the, you know, I think it's the, is it the Northumberland? Yeah. Counties Cup or something. I mean, that's held at St. James's Park. I mean, you know, even though I'm not a Newcastle fan or anything, you know, if I could have the chance to play at St. James's Park, you know what I mean? It's such a big stadium. Again, historic. Some of these grounds, you know, are very, very historic, and to play on the, you know, the same grounds as that is unbelievable. I mean, you just mentioned, you know, the Bet365 stadium, and, you know, it's very important to hold, you know, because it gives you a little bit of asset. Mm-hmm. It gives you a little bit of, right, you know, we know that, you know, if we get the final, that we know that we're going to play at the Riverside Stadium and it's going to be a good occasion. I think if the North Riding finals not, you know, if the North Riding, again, if these cups are not played at, you know, elite stadiums, then is there any point of, you know, it's just like, then it becomes it literally comes a little bit Sunday League like, when Sunday League's obviously, you know, I know Sunday League cups, they'll play at like a Northern League ground, and to them, you know, to be a Sunday League team to play at a Northern League ground is absolutely fantastic for them. But obviously for us, you know, we want to look forward to something. We want to look forward to, so again, when we know that the Riverside Stadium, I mean I was talking to Mask. I know a couple of Mask players, and obviously, you know, Dave McTiernan's there, Lewis Maloney's there. I was speaking to them, and obviously they had the final at Thornaby's ground. And I basically spoke with them and said, how do you feel about that? And they're just like, wow, we just can't believe it. You know, it's just, you know, knowing that they couldn't play the final at Riverside, and knowing that the cup's been there the past two or three years, it was, you know, they were absolutely, you know, wounded to see it was at Thornaby. So But yeah, it's massively important that you're playing these cups at elite stadiums, wherever it is. You know, it just gives you a little bit of pride and obviously a little bit of, you know, that's going to be our reward. So yeah, it's very important.
Not just for the players, but the fans as well. You touched on taking 1,500 to the Riverside. Would you have taken, say, that sort of number if it was at like 400 to be like Mask was the year or so afterwards?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably because, you know, our fans, you know, they love the big games. You know, they love the big games. You know, I mean, we speak about the FA Cup fourth qualifier. The crowd we had, that's probably the best. It's probably the, well, it is the biggest crowd what we've had and what we've played at with the Turnbull. It was just absolutely, it was just insane. It was a, you know, it was a great, you know, it was a great atmosphere. You know, you just couldn't hear, it's the first time when I've played there, you just couldn't hear yourself think. You just couldn't hear yourself. It was electric, you know, not just from our fans, but Stourbridge themselves. You know, they brought a couple of fans down and they made it, they played their part, and that's what made it a very, you know, a very good, you know, cup tie. Even, you know, even when we went down to, you know, even when we went down to Stourbridge for the replay, you know, we took, I must say, we must have took around about 50 to 100 or something like that, which was absolutely fantastic to see, you know. So, you know, our fans, you know, when they come out in the numbers, it's absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant to see. And, you know that you have to play well for them.
Just touch on the rest of that season. Paul Connolly sent me a letter note, so thanks to him. He says that was Whitby's best season since the 2005 to 2006 season, and he seems to recall you keeping 17 clean sheets that season. But just to double check with you, so you were having a very successful season between the sticks for yourself as well?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. You know, I mean, he's correct there. I did keep, you know, 17 clean sheets. You know, it was just, you know, it was just one of those seasons where it was crazy because I'm always, you know, previous seasons, just always been busy. My job was pretty easy. You know, I had a fantastic defence in front of me. But yeah, because I think it was just because of the style of play we played. You know, we played from the back. You know, much of it was just distribution. Didn't really need to make many saves because we were that solid. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, to get 17 clean sheets in a season was massively, you know, it was fantastic. It was brilliant to actually achieve that. You know, as all goalkeepers, we all want to keep clean sheets. You know, and we all want to do well as goalkeepers. We all want to play our part for the team. But, you know, it's sometimes when a clean sheet comes around, it's not just you who actually, you know, has won that clean sheet. It's your back line, you know, back line of, you know, I've had some defenders where they've absolutely just pulled me out of it. And, you know, sometimes you've got to give the clean sheet award to your back line because, you know, sometimes they play a massive part. And if you can play your part and you're on the same page as that, then you are going to keep clean sheets and you're not going to concede too many goals.
Yeah, and your performances and form certainly got yourself noticed, and you joined Spennymoor Town in the November that year, who were in the National League North. So what was it like making the step up to the National League North, only two leagues off the Football League?
Yeah. Joining Spennymoor was an experience. You know, an experience, but a massive learning curve. You know, I was very excited to join Spenny, because it did take a while to obviously go through. You know, there was a lot of commotion, there was a lot of, you know, agreeing deals and, you know, stuff that part of football. But yeah, it was just, you know, I was happy to be there. They were doing really well in the playoffs, and it just didn't seem to be, you know, it was a fantastic team, great set of players, you know, Ramshaw, Chandler, Taylor, you know, all big, big characters. But, you know, on my personal thought, probably didn't realize I was probably a little bit naive. Ended up going there overweight. Ended up basically thinking, well, if I can do it in even the Evo stick, I can do it in this league. And it just didn't seem to be. You know, I got myself in. It was one of those where, you know, some games, you know, you'd do the odd mistake, and I do mistakes, but we were winning games. So it was a little bit of a difficult one. And then obviously my last game we played, we played Gainsborough in the trophy. And I mean, I had, you know, some of the mistakes I gave away that night, but managed to pull myself out of it in the penalty shootout by saving. And then obviously next game, I got dropped. And then went to, you know, I just basically said, look, I'm going to get myself, you know, manager got on the phone. He didn't speak to me until the Monday and said, you know, you're overweight. You need to lose weight. You need to lose a good stone or so. So I went, right, okay, no problem. So managed to, you know, get myself in the gym. You know, Andy Oates, the physio, I've spent him already. He did a bit of work with me. He got me, you know, nearly there. So, I mean, massive thank you to him. And then I just got to the point where I just thought, you know, there's Jordan Porter who's just gone in. Dan Lawson was at Morpeth at the time. He's coming back. Then I was just basically trying to think as the manager. So I was trying to think, right, so basically what's going to happen is, if Jordan slips up, Dan's coming back. Dan's going to be put in. And then Jordan's going to be left out and I'm going to be put back on the bench. And I didn't want that. Because I was so used to playing and because I was so used to, you know, getting game time and, you know, playing week in, week out, I just didn't want to be on the bench, you know. And that's not me, you know, flinging my toys out the pram or whatever. It's just because I'm a goalkeeper who wants to play, you know. And I just think, you know, being on the bench, it makes you, you know, it makes you depressed, it makes you anxious, you know, it makes you stressed. And you don't want that. You don't want that as being a footballer. You always want to feel that, you know, you're always going to get a chance. And so that's when I went to West Auckland. Obviously knew that West Auckland wanted the goalkeeper, and managed to get a loan move there, and obviously spent the rest of the season there. So yeah, I mean, you know, I remember, you know, the gaffer from Spenny pulled me over and he said, you know, I think I did like a month or so. He said, oh, we're calling you back. And I just basically said, nah, I don't think so. I think I'm staying there for the rest of the season. And by then, you know, West Auckland basically give what Spennymoor were paid for me and wages out like that. And then all of a sudden I'm a West Auckland player.
Yeah, and you talk about like throwing your toys out of prime and you weren't certainly doing that. It seems to be the case with all goalkeepers that we've spoken to is they just want to play. How important is it that, you know, you get playing? Because there's only one position as a goalkeeper, whereas if you're an outfield, if you can't get into the midfield, they could prop you back in centre-back and help out there, whereas a goalkeeper is such a specialised position.
Yeah, I mean, all goalkeepers want to play. All goalkeepers want to play. And I totally understand that, you know, it's just sometimes not the case, you know? And that's why I stepped down. You know, people were saying, look, why are you going to Northern League? Like, you've literally just talked. So you've went from Whitby to step up into the Northern League and play for Spennymoor, then to go three leagues down and play Northern League. And I just basically said, I don't care. I want to go and play football. Mm-hmm. Knowing that, you know, everything, you know, apart from football was fine. I knew I was going to be, you know, happy and just play. And with West Auckland, I really enjoyed my time there. It was, you know, I never thought that I would enjoy my time at West Auckland, because I remember that first season in the 13-14 season, we played West Auckland then. And we played West Auckland with my time at Gisborough. And they've always been there were always this chewy, horrible, you know, team where they were just, you know, they'd elbow you, they'd you know, they'd kick, head and tackle you, you know, there was just this horrible outfit. And luckily when I did go to West Auckland, it became more football based. It wasn't the same West Auckland I knew when I, you know, with the experience before. I knew a lot of players there. I knew a lot of players there, met a lot of friends there. We had some, you know, we had some really, really good players in there. We had, you know, but yeah, it was a good time. Obviously the FA Vars run was a good one. We managed to get the quarters there. Look, you know, unfortunately we choked up a little bit in the quarters against Chertsey. Chertsey went to go and win it that year. So that was, you know, that was unfortunate. And I think we managed to win the Durham County Cup that season. So yeah, I mean, I had a half a season with, you know, West, and then might end up staying on and playing a full season, and, you know, really enjoyed it whilst going through a couple of tough personal battles myself as well.
Just touching on the FA Vars and getting to the quarterfinal with West Auckland. The FA Vars, it's such a massive competition, but up in the Northeast, they really do take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think the last decade or so, most, if not the majority of all the winners have come from the Northeast. Why do you think that's the case, that it's all come from up in the Northeast?
That's a good question. It's a real good question. I just think, you know, that is a real good question. I don't know. I really don't. Maybe the North develops better players. I don't know. I just think, you know, it's not, you know, Northern League teams, they've got grit. They've got determination. They know how to battle, you know. I think we play the game much more differently. We know how to mix it up. I think obviously when you play them Southern teams again with Chertsey, and they played us off the park, they move the ball really, really well. But I think with us Northern League teams, you know, we like to win. We like to do things ugly. And what we found is when we went a little bit more Southern, we always found that, you know, we always came out on top on that side of things. You know, it's not just about football in non-league. It's about, you know, it's about mind games. It's about, you know, who wants it more. It's about the nitty gritty stuff about things. You know, when you have to turn the ball in behind, you know, when you have to be direct, when you have to play the football on the ground. But yeah, that's a tricky question. You might have to ask someone else that one.
Yes, certainly will. I think my theory has always been, because up in the Northeast, you've got Newcastle, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, yep. And then you drop down, it's National League, it's Hartlepool, and then after that, you've got obviously your Blythes and your Spennymoors, then you can go out to like Whitby, mm-hmm. and York, what have you. And then after that, you're really dropping down into Northern League, and so like the good players who are dropping out of like Newcastle, they're going like to say your Yorks and what have you, and then those sort of players who drop out there, they're obviously having to head down. Whereas say if you take Manchester, for example, you drop out of United or City, you could end up at Rochdale or obviously in the past Bury, or you could travel off to like Liverpool and what have you. And then, there's, like as you said, there's more teams like just down the pyramid, whereas in the Northeast, it's such a like a confined area of professional teams. And so as such, you get more players dropping down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably, you know, yeah, I'd say that's a decent theory, that one.
that's just my theory.
I think that was a decent theory, that one. But yeah, I just couldn't answer that question. You know, as you've just said there, you know, obviously when we're Manchester and Liverpool and whatever, you know, there's so much variety of, you know, and you know, it's one of them where up here, you know, you always see local lads going to local teams. It's, you know, you never see them going to actually move down south. You know, it's just easy enough to, you know, it's like Jordan Jones, for instance, come from Scotland, could have gone somewhere Southern. He's ended up going to Sunderland, you know. So it's just a local thing, you know. I think we like to stay local. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's like, you know, it's even when in non-league, you know, it's obviously a couple of our teammates have gone from Whitby to Scarborough. You know, it's just local, you know. Darlow, Spenny. But yeah, it is a good theory. I'll have to think about that one today. I'm gonna have to think that one. I'm gonna have to think of my own theory.
Yeah, and then just moving back onto your career, you returned to Whitby. Believe it was one of the worst kept secrets in football up in that area because you were still attending Whitby games, most notably the New Year's victory over Scarborough Athletic. Just touching before we move on to returning, just talk to us about that derby. You look on social media, the two sets of fans, they really hate each other, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think what you like to see, though, what you do like to see is this pandemic, knowing that what's going on, what we've gone through, you do like to see on Twitter, obviously, you know, both sets of fans have actually, you know, they've actually, you know, I've seen a couple where they've actually wished each other, you know, to stay safe and stay well, and there's not been any hatred there. I think people just hate each other on a fact that it's just such a big rivalry, a massive rivalry, and I think some people underestimate how big it actually is. You know, always playing Scarborough, it's always been an exciting game. I mean, obviously, last game we played, I got some stick that game, you know what I mean? But the fact is, it's just part and parcel of it, you know? People can shout this and that, you know, in any game. You know, some of the stuff what gets shouted at, I'm just like, you know, some of the things what get shouted in a game, you're just like, you just laugh it off, you know, you laugh it off because it's just schoolboy stuff what people shout, you know. But yeah, when it comes against Scarborough, I always feel like you just got to blank everything out. But yeah, the rivalry on social media and whatever is just, you know. It's crazy. It's crazy how big a rivalry is. You know, God help us if we ever get them in a, I don't know, in an off-riding final or whatever, because that, you know, they are going to need, they would need full security there, full stewards there. But it's a good one. It's a good rivalry. It's always good. It's all, you know, I mean, when Blythe were in the league, it was always good to have that derby, something to look forward to. Even when Spenny were in the league, you know, when we beat them twice in the league, to always have a derby in that league is something special. And hopefully we keep the derbies in the league. Obviously, you know, we'd look live. We're going to come down into our league if the seasons didn't get null and void. But yeah, playing Scarborough, it's always a good occasion. It's always a fantastic occasion. Whether fans are giving you stick or not, you know, I always enjoy the occasion. I always enjoy games like that. I've always enjoyed, you know, those games where it's you know, you do get a little bit of stick, you know, and you do, you know, sometimes end up coming out on top and whatever. So long may the rivalry continue.
Is it a good thing for non-league football, this sort of rivalry like between Scarborough and Whitby, because as you mentioned, it is like very hatred sometimes, but then at other times, like during this pandemic, it's, you know, there's been some real coming together between the two sets of fans, and there's a bit of unity.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important, you know. For me personally, I'll never have hate for anybody, whether fans are calling you all the names under the sun at a game, and then in the bar afterwards, they're saying, you know, you're all right, well played, and whatever. You know, I just think, you know, there's been so many times where, you know, you've played a game and they've started with the chants and whatever, you know, the same old. And then, you know, you have a good game and then at the end of the game, they're all saying, you know, well played, keeper. And, you know, so it's good to have, you know, a bit of unity with supporters, especially with Scarborough and Whitby and especially what's going on. You know, we don't want anyone to see attracting this horrible disease, and you know, worst case scenario, obviously we don't want to see any supporters, you know, dying from it, because I know Whitby have had a couple of supporters passing away because of the virus, and you know, we don't want to see it between the, you know, both sets of fans. And you know, I think at this time it's very important that we, you know, we stick together and you know, create a bit of a unity.
Sticking together is certainly something you can say about Whitby Town, and looking at last season, that FA Cup run to the fourth qualifying round. Just talk us through some of your memories of that, particularly that Gloucester City replay when you had to travel with 14 players and three of them were goalkeepers.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, I mean, I think it was Paul himself. He actually said, you know, what was your biggest memory from that cup run? And I'd say Gloucester all day and any day. I don't think that memory will get old in years to come. You know, unless we get to the first round of the FA Cup or whatever, you know, unless we live it again. If we could live something like that again as a team, then that would be unbelievable. Because to go down there with, you know, 14 players, a bare 11, centre half up top, two goalkeepers on the bench as outfielders, you know, to go there with literally the bare bones. For us to go down there and do a job and win 3-1, that was just, it was unbelievable. I mean, you just couldn't write it. You really couldn't. We were confident going down. We knew the team once we stopped at Weatherby. We knew our jobs. We knew our roles. We knew what we needed to do. But to actually, you know, go down there, to go 1-0 up in the first half, and then literally second half to go 2-0 up after, I think it was like 15, 20 minutes, we knew that we were halfway there. And then, you know, they get a goal back, 2-1. We knew that they were knocking on the door. You know, I had to come and collect a couple of things and clear the area a little bit. And then, you know, we managed to get a third. Obviously, they scored an own goal. And we knew that the game was sealed. And, yeah, it was a very special night. I mean, you know, I think, you know, best part of the night was obviously when the club bought all the McDonald's, you know. You know, it was just brilliant, you know, obviously to have a drink and, you know, have some food on the way up back, knowing that the bus was absolutely, you know, bouncing. You know, that them journeys make it. You know, them journeys make it, and them journeys, you know, them journeys make it why we play non-league, because of those, you know, those magic little moments. I think Paul to this day is still buzzing that his tweet went viral. But yeah, you know, it was a shame that we never got that we could never go all the way and go to the first round. But what a cup run. I mean, it was a very, very special cup run. And again, you know, before the season went null and void, we had a really good season. We were pushing playoffs again, you know. And I think Whitby Town's came this team now where, you know, it'll always be competitive. It'll always be, you know, mid table to, you know, always competing for playoffs now. You know, like I said, the league's changing. The league's totally changing. It's becoming more of a, it's given more lads, more younger lads a chance, really hardly seeing any experienced players anymore. You're basically just seeing, you know, young lads getting a chance and getting a good fair crack at the whip of playing. You know, I know that this year we've played a particular young side, but we had Marcus Giles coming in, a very young player, Mackenzie Heaney, Liam Cook, I mean, Callum Cook's brother, who's obviously playing Football League. You know, Liam Cook came into the side and did really, really well. So, you know, it's the league's getting more tougher, but it's good to see that, you know, young lads are getting a chance and a fair crack at it.
Yeah, and just touching on last season, the 2019-20 season, although it was null and void, you did make your 250th appearance for Whitby. So what was that like? And how pleasing was it to reach such a big milestone at one club?
Yeah, you know, it was a great honour to make, you know, 250 appearances for such a fantastic club. You know, it's always been, as I've said to Paul Connolly before, you know, it'll always be a club close to my heart. You know, I'll always be involved with Whitby Town, whether it's playing, whether it's coaching, whether it's, you know, in and around the community, you know, it's not just the football club, but the town itself. It's come a massive part. It's became a massive part of my life. So yeah, I mean, to make 250 appearances, you know, and then, you know, to be near, you know, I think I'd have been like 300 appearances by now if it wasn't for all this null and void. But yeah, just to get 250 appearances for a club, you know, knowing that I'm always going to be happy there, you know, with good guidance, with good people around. Club's good for my mental health. It's always been a club where I can speak to whoever's manager. And that's why I went back to Whippy Town, because it's always been a like a safe club, you know, it's always been a club what's been there for us. And knowing that that you've got loyal people there, and you know, if you're loyal to them, they're loyal to you, and if you know, they can extremely look after you. But yeah, to make over 250 appearances in non-league, I don't know how many games I've played in non-league. I think I've played, it may be 300, close to 350 now. For a goalkeeper who was 26 year old to get that many appearances is a massive achievement. And if I could get a 500, I will.
And talking about loyalty, you were rewarded with the role of club captain at Whitby. What's that like? And just talk us through the difference between club captain and first team captain, because Dan Rowe takes the armbands on a match day.
Yeah. So basically, you know, club captain is calling back to the managers. You know, obviously, you know, when Charlie was in charge, I'd always get a phone call on a Sunday. And basically just go through the game. I just basically go through Saturday's game. He'd address, you know, he'd ask me the question of, is there any issues in the dressing room? You know, just basically see if there's any problems, if the changing room's good, is it bad? You know, who's doing what? And just basically keeping, you know, if there's any meetings, what I'd need to go to, if there's anyone, you know, say if someone's lashed out on a Saturday and there's a, you know, a disciplinary meeting between the club and a player, say if he's done it multiple occasions, then obviously I'd have to go into that, you know, that meeting. So yeah, it's just basically looking after players, really, you know, making sure that everything's right. Obviously team captain, Rory got injured a couple of games. So, you know, to wear the armband for a club what's close to me was a massive honour. But yeah, it's a role what I really enjoy, knowing that there's young players coming into the squad and giving them, and you know, giving them advice, you know, giving advice what I've been given from when I was, you know, 18, 19, you know, and some of the players, you know, they've always been down about not playing and whatever, and you know, to actually, you know, just sit down and actually chat about that, and then when they've been put into the squad, they've performed, is it's a massive thing. And it's my job to keep the team together. It's my job to make sure everyone's all right. If anyone's got any problems, you know, they can come and see me. That's the only difference. It's not a massive difference. The only difference is you don't wear the armband, but it's not about that. It's obviously, you know, looking after my players, looking after my, you know, my teammates, and basically, you know, making sure that everything's running smoothly.
I suppose boosting morale will be one of them. And just talk to us about the impressions you can do, because Paul's sent me a link to one on Facebook.
It's just one of those where, you know, I've always been a bit of a class clown. But I've always been impressed with impressions. I've always loved impressions, whether it's watching Britain's Got Talent or whatever, whether it's watching, you know, Robin Williams doing impressions, Jim Carrey doing impressions. You know, I've always been you know, I've always been a character. And like I said, you know, I've always, it was just one of those, it was just one of those where, you know, I just pick up on people's voice, you know, I just pick up on people's voice and I just, you know, for some reason, I just get it down to a T. You know, I just seem to get things right. And yeah, it's always been a bit of a, it's always been a, like a bit of a personal, personal talent, what I like to do. So, I won't be doing any now though, because yeah, I do enjoy doing them. I really, you know, they're very, very stupendous.
Who's the best one you can do an impression of?
Oh God,
there's too many to mention.
There's too many. Yeah, I mean, I do a selection. I mean, some of my teammates, they always come at me and they always go like, "Go on, do Lee Bullock. And you know, I always do Lee, you know. But with him being gaffer now, it's it's impossible, you know. But yeah, it you know, I always have a bit of fun. I'm always, you know, I take my football seriously, but you know, if you take football too seriously and you know, you've got no, if you don't have any banter between you or whatever, you know, then your career can go, you know, it can spiral if you take it far too serious. You know, there's taking it serious, but there's a time to have a laugh and time to enjoy it, you know. And that's my job, like I said. Obviously, you've said about the club captain and whatever, it's about getting the team morale. And you know, I'll be the one who stands in the middle, you know, stand in the middle of the changing room, just getting everyone going for a game, and you know what I mean, just making everyone, just putting a smile on everyone's face, you know, that's the most important thing. But yeah, I do have a couple of impressions in my locker, and you know, I do like using them sometimes. Yeah.
What's the future for Shane Bland then? What does the future hold for you?
Well, the future holds, first of all, obviously I'm due my baby boy on the 30th of May, so that's the, you know, obviously I get back coaching the 29th of March. Then obviously, you know, baby's due 30th of May. So yeah, obviously first time being a father, first time being a dad, you know, just getting my head round the challenge ahead. But yeah, it's one of those where my future holds. I don't really think of putting a pathway out for myself. I'm just one of these people. If it happens, it happens. You know, I've tried to do it before. I've always tried to put like a bit of a pathway out for myself before. I've always said, you know, I mean, I'm 26 now, but I've always said, once I hit 26, what will be, you know. I've always said, you know, if I get anything before I'm 26, if I get, you know, I don't know, pro contract or trials or whatever, you know, brilliant, fantastic. But then I've just always said, once I've got a 26, it'll just carve its own path out. Whether it's staying at Whitby, whether it's staying there for the rest of my career, you know, I mean, I'd be absolutely delighted to do that. You know, if anything came in higher, I wouldn't put it to the side. I would always think about it. But I'm just happy. I'm just happy with where I am. Got a baby on the way. I've got a beautiful fiance, and like I said, it's just one of those where wherever our life carries on, wherever the career carries on, whatever career path we go down, it's just one of those. I'll always enjoy goalkeeping. I'll always enjoy my football. But I can always say that, you know, that I played for a fantastic club in Whitby Town and go from there, really.
What's the potential for Whitby Town? Because they seem to have everything in place up there, a great fan base, a great stadium, a great young team. So how far can this Whitby Town club go?
Well, I think we've done it before. You know, I think obviously when we've had a team where we've always, you know, I think we've never had a team where it's an absolute, you know, it's a team where it's a full of world beaters. Or we've had that special player, you know. I mean, when I say set, well, I say special player, I mean obviously Dale Hobson that season when we nearly got playoffs. He carried the team, totally carried the team, single handedly. But this year, I mean, we've just got a good variety of players. Young, but obviously you've got experience. We've got some players who are young but haven't got the experience. And I think with a couple more years in them, they'll, you know, they'll be playing at the full potential in non-league. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to see the club. You know, I've always found with Whitby, it needs a rocket. You know, it needs a boost. You know, it needs a boost to really kick on. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking money-wise or anything like that. I'm not talking about investments or anything like that. But I just think it just needs to go into get more modern. It needs to be more modern. You know, you're seeing teams now, you know, you look at South Shields, for instance, going full-time. Honestly, that is a, you know, as a non-league footballer, if you're playing for South Shields and you're going full-time, that's an absolute dream come true. Knowing that they've got the facilities to do it, that is an unbelievable achievement from South Shields. But yeah, I just think with Whitby, they just need a bit of a boost, and they need a head into the modern times, really. You know, I think the shed side of the grounds, I believe that's getting a new, you know, stand. Mm. But yeah, just, you know, just needs to kick on a little bit, you know. You know, when I first turned up, obviously the kits were baggy as, and it was a bit medieval, you know. It's moving in the right direction. It certainly is, but yeah, it just needs to kick on a little bit more now. Hopefully, we do our business on the football pitch, and the club will do really, really well.
So we'll end with a final few questions. First of all, who's the best player you've played with or against throughout your career, whether that be technically or just someone who's always performed?
A player who's always performed. That's a good question. I'd always say, you know, I've always, Jordan Jones, again, you know, just obviously Jordan Jones at Middlesbrough, just full of confidence, you know, believes himself in a player, you know, mentality very, very strong. You know, I know a lot of people talk about him, but he's just mentally very, very strong. Yeah, I'd say Jordan Jones. In non-league, I'd probably say Graham Armstrong. You know, he's always a handful to play against as well. Obviously played against him when Darlow won the league at Whitby, and he was just, I think he scored a hat-trick in like, I think it was like 15 minutes or something like that. He was just in absolute freak mode. But yeah, I'd say Graham Armstrong or Jordan Jones, most definitely.
When you were growing up, which goalkeeper did you model yourself on, like as someone aspired to be like?
I mean, the goalkeeper I used to love watching was Van der Sar, Edwin Van der Sar, when he was at Manchester United. Obviously, the night he saved the penalty in the Champions League against Chelsea. You know, obviously, Casillas, you know, the obvious Casillas, Valdez at Barca, you know, top quality goalkeepers. You know, when I was at Middlesbrough, I trained with Jason Steele, and obviously with Steely, I used to, you know, clean his boots. And obviously, with being an 18-year-old, you always looked up to them because they played first team football. And it was always a privilege to, you know, to train with them. But yeah, just, you know, I never really, technical wise, I've never really, you know, tried to be anyone else. I've always tried to have my own, you know, my own style and my own technique. I've just always practiced, you know, so, but yeah, I mean, the likes of Van der Sar, Casillas, you know, Valdez and whatever, I've always looked up at them, really.
What made you want to be a goalkeeper in the first place, right back when you first started playing football?
Probably it's probably the same way every goalkeeper ends up being a goalkeeper, just by putting a pair of gloves on and just, you know, just standing in between a goal. I was under 10s at the time. I was like, you know, a 9 year old. And I never thought that at that age, I never thought, you know, football's going to be my life. It's not going to be a job or whatever. I just wanted to play with my mates on the backfield, you know, and just get muddy. And then when I went, obviously I went into Formsby, a local side, and I went there as a left back. I'd say a left back. I just went to go and play. And he said, can you play? Anyway, the manager went to my mother and said, can you play in goal? So I just put a pair of gloves on and yeah. I just ended up, I can't really remember what I was doing at that time, but I must have been good at it. Ended up getting my first kit, you know, for Nafonzi. I remember walking in, I had a full goalkeeper kit, you know, with a big shorts with the pads and pads on the elbows and whatever. And I was like, I've got my kit. And then since then, I've just loved goalkeeping. You know, I used to always go to like the holiday camps and whatever. And I used to just live and breathe goalkeeping, you know, and then, yeah, just, you know, never thought that it'd be part of my job to be a goalkeeper. You know, not, I think it all changed when I went to Martin FC, and then I was getting trials for, like, you know, Hartlepool, Middlesbrough and whatever. And then from there, just kicked on. And then that's when I knew that I wanted to, that I was going to get serious.
Yeah. And as someone who loves goalkeeping, I think you're probably one of the best people to answer this question. And obviously with your coaching, what advice would you give to any young budding goalkeeper who wants to make it in the game, whether that be to try and get into a professional club or even just playing non-league football or even Sunday league, you know, with the mates on a Sunday afternoon?
For me, just got to work hard. You know, that goes by any. Doesn't matter if it's goalkeeper, outfielder, doesn't matter. You've got to work hard. You've got to, you know, mentality is massive. You know, if you don't have the right mentality as a goalkeeper, then you are going to struggle. Mentality is a huge, huge thing. If you make a mistake, don't let it get to you. You know, I've seen it's hard because I've coached a lot of goalkeepers who have made mistakes in training. And, you know, I did it myself. And, I totally regret doing it because it didn't get me where I wanted to be. But yeah, I totally, you know, with mentality, you've got to have a strong mentality, work hard, good attitude, always show a good attitude, you know, and always listen to coaches, always listen to the goal, you know, your coaches, whether who it is, you know, especially goalkeeper coaches, really, you know, I don't agree with, because that obviously with me, myself, when I coach my own team, you know, you hear in the, you hear the managers saying to the goalkeepers, you know, come out, blah, 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 you know. And that really bugs me, you know. Just for me, you know, just play, you know, just play your own game. I think you've just got to play your own game. That's a saying what I've all, you know, my granddad's always said to me, just play your own game. Don't try and be different, you know, and what will be, you know. Just really focus, concentrate. You know, concentration and focus is key in goalkeeping. But yeah, just play your own game.
Yeah. And just finally, what's been your best moment in your football career? I know you touched on so many great highlights throughout your career.
I'd probably say a highlight in my career is probably getting, you know, in the team of the year for the season where we nearly got playoffs and we won the North Riding. I'd definitely say that was, you know, a massive achievement for me to obviously go to the awards there and to be a part of a bit of a ceremony like that. To actually get in the team of the year was a massive achievement for me, you know, because there's so many real good goalkeepers in the league. You know, obviously, you know, you've got goalkeepers on loan from Manchester United, you know, teams like that. But yeah, I'd definitely say it was, you know, getting the team in the team of the year.
Yeah, and also just touching on that, it's picked by your fellow players and also their managers, so it's good to be recognised by them, and they see what you're doing as like the beacon of what goalkeeping standards should be in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to you know, to the, for for other fans and other supporters of other teams to be, you know, to actually notice that you've, you know, to notice that is a massive achievement. You knew that you had a really good season. You could really, really reflect on, you know, what you've actually done that season. So yeah, to get that, you know, to get that reward by other teams and other supporters actually picking that, you know, it was a massive achievement. And honestly, you know, whoever, I still say to this day, whoever voted him whatever that season, you know, just a massive thank you.
It's been a great hour and a half recording. The time has really flown by recording this. So thank you for your time, Shane.
Absolutely no problem. It's been good. It's been good. It's like you said, it's always good to talk about. It's always good to talk about goalkeeping and whatever, and especially because we're not playing it. It's always good to bring, you know, memories up. And I just like to say, you know, thank you for your time and thank you for having me.
And if people want to follow your streaming, where can they find you? Just to remind people, I know you mentioned at the start.
Yeah, just like I said, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. Just type in DRSNUS, and you will find me on there. If you were like your gaming, get come and see and come and follow.
Okay, I'm sure you'll get many following you now after that. Thank you for your time, Shane, once again.
Yeah, no problem, mate. Absolutely no problem. Thank you, mate. Yeah,
well, all the best for your the future, particularly with your little one. And if you want to follow this podcast, guys, you can follow us on Twitter at Non-League Keeper. That's NONLGE Keeper. But for now, thank you for listening.